Let us pray. God of truth, you are who you are, not who we want you to be. Jesus was who he was, not who others pressured him to be. Your spirit is in us, it is not as others wish. You knew us as we are, not what others think of us. Speak to us now your truth. Call to us that coming close to you, we may come close to ourselves and live out our true calling in this world. We pray in the name, company, and courage of Jesus. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Let me sing a song concerning my friend's vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. They dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines and built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. They expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded weeds. And now inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield weeds? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the God above, all is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are God's pleasant planting. God expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Expected righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of life. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish, and those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were beheaded. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were homeless, persecuted, and tormented. Yet the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all of these heroes of the faith did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Hear the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. Jesus said, I have come to cast fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I've come to bring peace on the earth? Nope. Division. From now on, a family of five will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. They'll be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising up in the west, you say, it's going to rain. And then it does. When a south wind blows up, you say, ooh, it's going to be scorching hot. And then it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to perceive the appearance of earth and sky. Why don't you know how to see the times? Why can't you judge for yourselves what is good? The gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. A lot of times we like to think of Jesus as being a nice guy. And what it means to follow Jesus is to be nice. He was all about peace and harmony, right? Well, no. There were some times when Jesus was not nice. That Jesus came up against stuff that he didn't back off on. It can be kind of alarming to hear Jesus say, I've come to cast fire on the earth and there will be division. It's also misleading because it's easy to misinterpret what Jesus is saying. There are 2,000 years of history of Christians who love to imagine that what Jesus means is he's going to cast fire on the earth and burn a lot of people because he doesn't like them. When Jesus says there's going to be division, people imagine that's division between Christians and non-Christians, between good people and bad people, us and them. That is not what Jesus means. When you look at all of Jesus' words and Jesus' behavior, you do see that there was a lot of division. There were people who were against him, people who disagreed with what he said. They argued with him. They tried to trick him. They tried to get him to tone it down, dial it back, not say those things, or just shut up and go home. And he wouldn't. He held fast. Now, what Jesus is modeling is not just doing whatever you want to do. It's not a matter of being obstinate or stubborn. It's something else. Because you see, one of the things that's beneath that division, that 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, we all fall into this. We don't like when other people are different from us because it makes us feel like we don't fit in. We want everybody to be the same as us so that we can feel relaxed about fitting in, so that our fitting in doesn't have to be a choice. It's just given. And we human beings with the egos that we have don't like it when we have to choose to be who we are. The thing is, it's not just getting to decide who do I like to be and then I'm going to be that person. The division that Jesus is talking about is the division between who you are and who other people want you to be. And that's a tough one. Because we spend about 80% of our social energy people-pleasing. You say what other people want to hear. You don't upset people. You fit in. You go along to get along. Now, the secret to not doing that is important. Because so often, we don't do what's really true for us. And the trick is, sometimes we think, well, instead of doing what those people want, I'll do what I want. That's also wrong. Because you know what? Among those people who don't want me to be myself, one of those is me. I don't want to be true to myself. It's too hard. I don't want to be authentic. It takes too much risk. I don't want to do that. Jesus had to wrestle with that. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, God, I do not want to do this. But not what I want, but what you want. There's the key. It's not a matter of doing what you want. It's a matter of being true to who God creates you to be. You have a divine purpose in life, and God is counting on you to fulfill that. That scripture that we just heard from Isaiah, God says, I planted this vineyard, I wanted grapes, and then these weird, wild, ugly things came up. It's not what I wanted. I wanted justice, and you didn't give me justice. That's true for each one of us. There's something that God wants in our lives that we've been created for. It's why you're here. And what gave Jesus the capacity to stick with the program was that he knew why he was there. You just read through the Gospels and see how often Jesus said, I have come to, this is why I came. Let's go on to the other villages because that's why I was sent. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I have come to cast fire on the earth. I have come. He had a reason. And he knew what that was, and nothing could budge him from that course. Imagine if that's true of you. That there's a reason God created you, who you are, and the most sacred thing you can do is to be that person. And it's the hardest thing to do because everybody's going to want you to be not quite that person. The pressure is immense. We all like what we call homeostasis. We like to figure out how things are and stay there. Every human being does that. Every social group, every family, every church, we figure out homeostasis. We all figure out what our role is, and we play that role, and we like it to stay that way. And when somebody steps out of line, we will do everything we can to bring them right back in. And the hard thing is to do what we call to self-differentiate and to be able to really be yourself even when it upsets other people. It's hard to feel like you're making other people upset. The secret is you're not making them upset. They are. Because you have ceased to be yourself for them. And now what you are is an extension of themselves. I want you to agree with me so that I feel good about myself. So you suddenly aren't a person. You're just a projection of what I want. Well, you know what Jesus says to that? Tough luck. Those people are just going to have to feel bad. You are not responsible for making them happy. You are responsible to be who you are. And that pressure is immense. One of the things that helps is knowing that, is knowing the difference between who I am and who people want me to be. That's the division that Jesus is talking about. And knowing that when I do that, then there is going to be that 2 against 3. That somebody isn't going to like it. When a church takes a stand, people won't like it. They'll steal our Black Lives Matter sign. They'll take our rainbow flag. This is the 4th one. They keep taking them. Because they don't like us to have a stand. Another thing that helps, besides seeing that that's going to happen, is seeing the bigger picture so that you understand the pressure that you're getting. So, for instance, let's just say that God wants us all to be our own authentic selves. God wants us to just be natural, right? Let's suppose we're in the key of C, and God wants you to be natural. What if that's your note? The problem is, sometimes it sounds wrong. And everybody next to you is going to say, hey, come on, come on. Come up here with us. Be like me. Stop being natural and get up here with me. Sometimes it's really wrenching. It just sounds bad. And you feel like that can't be right. Certainly they're going to want me to come down. Oh, that's pretty. Yeah, I should be like that. But that's too hard. One of the secrets is to pay attention to the rest of the world, and you discover that those aren't the only two notes. Oh. It turns out that be natural that sounded wrong next to somebody else only sounded wrong when you didn't hear the whole thing. When you hear the entire symphony of God, you know you belong. And you don't mind when people are saying, ooh, that's discordant. We don't like you singing that note. And we know how to say, it belongs. This is my note. I'll sing it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be belligerent. You just have to be true. And then what happens is, you discover why you're here. And there's power in that. Just like there was power in what Jesus did. Now, God's divine calling isn't necessarily a career. Doesn't necessarily mean that God is calling you to be a pastor, be a missionary, or be anything. You can be a plumber, or a painter, or a pastor, or anything. That doesn't matter. What matters is who you are, how you be. Sometimes your divine calling is just to be that person who's forgiving when everybody else holds resentments. To be the one who's hopeful when everybody else is anxious. To be the one who's trusting when other people want you to be cynical. Or to stand up and make a statement. To act for justice when everybody else wants you to just sit down and fit in. But what we discover with Jesus is that the reason that there are those divisions is not because we're doing the wrong thing, but because we're doing the right thing. Everybody knows how much it felt like you were doing the right thing back in the 60s when you were on the FBI list. It meant you were doing something. I mean, let's be honest. If a certain politician hasn't dissed you on Twitter, you're not doing enough. Get out there and make him say something bad about you. Then you know you're doing the right thing. That's what Jesus understood. And the cool thing is, that's why we're here. The reason we're here is it's hard to hear that whole symphony without people helping you do that, without hearing all those other notes. The reason we're here as a church is to help each other, to hear that divine calling that's in you, the way God is in you, in your own particular way, and be faithful to that divine calling, even if it's different than the way somebody else is. My job is to help you be faithful to your calling, even knowing that it's not exactly my calling. Because there is that divine purpose in all of us. There is that divine call to love that we all share. And I think when we be that kind of community that's really here to listen for how God calls us to be and to help each other to hear that and discern that and be faithful to that, whatever the cost, there's power. There's a lot of power. It's like fire. Maybe that's the fire Jesus wants to cast on the earth. The power of people who know how to judge for themselves. What's good? Who am I? How do I live this life? And when we do that, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Will you pray with me? God, we are in awe and sometimes in doubt that you create each of us for a holy purpose. That your love is planted like a vineyard in each of us. And it bears fruit, the fruit of your love. Help us to weed that garden and let that fruit be fruitful. Help us to know the difference between who we are and what other people want us to be. Even the difference between who we want to be and who you want us to be. Help us to be true and faithful. And to help each other do that. God, for the gift and the mystery of your grace in us, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.